Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you the telephone number that can get you through to the our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion together today is 831-0917, 831-0917. Sometimes I forget to give you that number during the course of the broadcast. I want to do that first up. You can join in the dialogue and discussion at any point in time today, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we talk about issues. We do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of my thoughts and feelings and what I think or say. It's a matter of what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear that it is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Jesus said, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." So what is truth? Jesus answers that question. John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we look for truth. We look in the Word of God. When we look for truth, we see what God's Word says. God's Word is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is God's progressive revelation of Himself to man. Many are afraid of truth today. In fact, I don't believe they can spell the word in Washington. I'm beginning to wonder if they know what truth is. I'm always fascinated, amazed by those that would feign religion or feign some spirituality by having some reference to what Jesus said or what the Bible said, and yet are distancing themselves from that every day more than ever before. It was Zechariah 8:6 says, "Speak every man truth to his neighbor." And we need to understand that truth is vital today, but truth is a lost art, if you please, today. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we're finding that, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day. You'd be surprised how many people reject what is being said on this broadcast each day and how many with open arms receive it. I pray that as you receive this information each day as we face a variety of issues, that it would be an educational thing for you, inspirational and challenging, especially as Christians and as conservatives, that we would make that commitment to be salt and light that God would have us to be in a darkened, decaying, dying world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and hurricane cleanup equipment and has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff of people that can answer all your questions about the equipment that is needed, the backup generation equipment that sometimes is needed during hurricanes. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right where the gigantic flag is flying. I think it's a 165-foot flagpole there with the huge Old Glory flowing. So find the flagpole, look at the base of that pole, and you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about something today that I've used an amalgamation of several issues that we're going to bring together, kind of as a variety broadcast today of different issues that I think we need to be aware of. And I'm just blanketing that term under facing perilous times. Facing perilous times. Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed that we live truly in perilous times? just as the Bible warns us. In fact, in the text in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and you've heard me discuss this before, but it is a text that I believe paints the picture more than any place else that we could look at is the day in which we're living. The Apostle Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Now that's a key element, despisers of those that are good. That's an indication, ladies and gentlemen, of the perilous times. Word perilous means dark, dangerous, difficult, deceptive, devastating days. And in these dark, deceptive, dangerous, devastating days, we have those that despise those that are good. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, there is an animus toward the Christian today. There's a hatred and welled-up rejection and revulsion at Christians. This is the reason, by the way, I've said for many years that at the time the rapture takes place, that is when the sudden seizure of the church takes place, the Christians are snatched out of this old world. The lost, evil, wicked world will say, well, finally, we don't know what happened, but finally those that have been causing all the problems, those Christians, those churches, have finally disappeared, and we can do what we want to do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what will take place. But our culture today and our schools and our laws and our political climate seems to be in some way unraveling at the seams. Now, we could talk about a whole host of issues that will illustrate and vivify and validate what I'm saying, that it seems in these perilous times, these dark, dangerous, difficult, deceptive, devastating days that we're faced with today, that we're literally watching the seams come unglued, unthreaded, unraveled. We have today a silence, I believe, from the Christians. And you hear me say this often, and I'm vastly concerned about it. I'm gravely concerned about the fact that Christians seemingly have gone into the closet. Well, the sodomites have come out of the closet. The Christians seemingly have become silent. We've lost our tongues. We've lost our voice in a day that it's our voice needs to be heard more than perhaps any other time. When is the last time, ladies and gentlemen, when is the last time you've heard a pulpit message in the church you're in, at a church you go to, or church that you visited? When's the last time you've heard a pulpit message preaching against the marijuana, preaching against the LGBTQ agenda, preaching against alcoholic beverages, preaching against the sins of our day, vaping and other things? When's the last time you've heard that? The pulpits have become silent today over these issues. When's the last time you heard a pastor in the pulpit condemn LGBTQ or the abortion industry and what's happening with the murder of human beings? About 63 million have been murdered since Roe versus Wade in 1973. The preacher today, generally speaking, I find in most cases are trying to appease what is taking place in society rather than pleasing God. There's a vast difference. Here's an article in a major Christian magazine, and I'll read parts of this article during the course of the broadcast. It says, when intolerance of the truth is heightened, the need for preachers to open the Bible and declare its truth boldly is greater than ever. Churches that tone down the message to accommodate the spirit of the age are playing into the enemy's schemes, end quote. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Hello, Pastor. You're familiar with Bible prophecy. I have one question concerning Trump's pull out in Syria of the Turkish of the troops to allow Turkey to come in there. I was wondering your opinion on that whole thing.
Well, if you'll hang in there, we can have a brief discussion on it. We covered an entire broadcast on the subject yesterday, but it is lengthy and broad enough that I could have literally covered it also in this full hour today. One of the things that we're talking about is prophecy in the scripture, and we understand what is taking place in the prophetic sense. We understand that Iran, Iraq, Germany, Libya, and those nations, Egypt, are all included in the prophetic text in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, specifically asked what was my thoughts in relationship to Trump's pullout. In fact, when he made the statement about pulling out, he didn't realize how prophetic his statement was in relationship to the future events in that part of the world. He said something to the effect, and I'm going to paraphrase it, don't have the notes right before me, but he said, we're going to leave the battle up to Egypt, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Russia without the realization. And I said in the broadcast yesterday, President Trump didn't realize that he was speaking prophetically, biblically speaking. He doesn't realize it. He doesn't recognize it. But he says leaving the battle and against Syria and that part of the world with those nations, including Russia. Russia, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, will lead the five-member nation, all of them being Islamically controlled nations, will lead those five-member nations against Israel, and it will proliferate around the globe. When you study Ezekiel 38 and 39, you find God saying, it's my people, it's my land, it's my doing. It's God that will bring that together. It's God that will bring that about, because he will destroy the enemies of the nation of Israel, the enemies of God, at that battle. And it's not the battle of Armageddon. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, some call it the war with Russia. I choose to call it the coming global Islamic invasion, because that's what it is. But in President Trump's making that decision, he's caused some on both sides of the aisle to get a little riled up and concerned in a position of animus toward him as a result of it. Now, you can play that fiddle both directions. You can talk about he did something wrong. I'm looking at it on the basis, regardless of what the end result is from the human standpoint, it's God's sovereign hand working and bringing about his ultimate design for the nation of Israel, because it's at the point that it seems that Israel, in the final days, not in the Ezekiel 38 and 39, but ultimately in the Battle of Armageddon, when it seems though Israel is going to be annihilated, it's what triggers the throne of God and Jesus Christ returns. And according to Revelation 19, verse 17 through 21, he will slay them with the sword of his mouth, that is the spoken word. But in the interim, what we're going to witness, what we will watch, is the amalgamation and the coming together of these Islamically controlled nations and Islamic nations led by Russia. Today in Syria, Russia has major, and may I say again, major weaponry, including submarines, including aircraft, including all types of weaponry and war machinery that is designed for no other purpose than to come against Israel, though Russia at this point does not realize that. It's God setting the stage, for the final days of his truth being carried out in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Generally, what were your thoughts in relationship to that? Our caller there. We lost the caller. I hope that was an answer for his question. But I'm excited about that, ladies and gentlemen. I see those things taking place. But one of the things that I'm concerned about as an overall picture is the silence in the pulpits on the part of preachers, pastors, teachers, in talking about prophetic things and talking about the scripture and looking at eschatological truth and talking about those events that we see taking place in the world that are leading right up to the point of the rapture of the church, with God snatching his church out through the rapture of the church, the sudden seizure of the church. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at what we need to be doing as Christians, this particular writer in this article says, in reality, however, the world has had far more influence on the church than vice versa, because today's evangelical churches enthusiastically borrow fads and absorb opinions from the popular culture. That has rendered our collective testimony to the world absolutely, totally ineffective. It's talking about the effectiveness of the church because of the weakness of the pulpits and the failure to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a call on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, good morning. I'll be brief on this. Yeah, the only thing about with what Trump did, I believe he could have been more judicious and said to Turkey, we're pulling our hundreds of troops out, because we didn't have that many in northern Syria, and they were special ops troops, just a few hundred, I think.
But I think it was 400.
Yeah, not many. And I would have made it clear to Turkey, do not invade. The Kurds, they lost 11, 12, 14,000 men fighting on our behalf. They don't have heavy weaponry, but I would have done it more judiciously. And this is causing a rift within the Republican Party at a time Trump's impeachment, possible impeachment, is coming about. he doesn't. Sometimes he just shoots from the hip, and we realize all overall God's in control. But these were loyal fighters with America, and it's really. And when I read about the casualties now, I get sick to my stomach. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, thank you so much. You're exactly right. Sometimes the action of men, the action of leaders, the action of those that are God's instruments in the world, we cannot fathom from a human standpoint of what's being done and the end result of it. But I do know, going back to President Trump's words, I have it in my hands, we will fight where it is to our benefit and only fight to win. Turkey, Europe, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Russia, and the Kurds will now have to do the fighting. And that was his position and statement in relationship to that, and not realizing that according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, we have Gog and Magog in Persia and Ethiopia and Libya and Gomer. All of those are Russia, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Algeria, Turkey, and Syria. All of those are the nations, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, that will come together in that conflagration that I call the coming global Islamic invasion. Now, saying that, simply put, Trump may have made a mistake from the human standpoint in his timing, but God's timing has not had a mistake made in it since the beginning of time. And so I believe God's timing is the key to what we need to look at and understand. Because listen very carefully. Let me just give a little prophetic chronological aspect and insight to this. The Jewish calendar, yesterday was Yom Kippur, and the day before Yom Kippur, which is the holiday, it is the New Year's Day, and it's the year 5870 on the Jewish calendar. If we have God being symmetrical, and I believe he is, I believe we'll see the wrap up of the universe at about 7,000 years. If we're nearing the 6,000 year point on the Jewish calendar, the Gregorian calendar that we're on today is different, but I believe you might find between the calendars there's some differentiation there. My bride is a genius on that, and she's done the chronological 7,000-year timeline. But if we're close to that, then we have just a few years before the 6,000, and let's say that maybe tomorrow, but it could be at any time, the rapture of the church, then the 7-year tribulation, and then the 1,000-year millennial reign, and then the coming of the ruling and the reigning throughout all of eternity, God's wrapping up the universe with about 7,000 years. I believe we're a very young universe today, a very young world, less than 6,000 years. And so if you take the few years for the tribulation, you take then the millennial reign, I believe God's going to wrap this old universe up at a symmetrical number of 7,000 years, not billions and billions of years. And so if that's the case, we're on a very fast, rapid timeline of what God is going to do in the final days of this whole world. This is the reason it's so vital, it's so important, so necessary for us to understand the perilous days, the perilous times that we're in, and be salt and light, be actively involved in what God has called us to do in this world. We're in the world, not of the world, but as citizens in the world, we need to be salt and light in the preserving and the illumination that God would have us to be in the society in which we're living in. This article also says, some Christians today act as if they're embarrassed by the Bible. The lead pastor in one of the largest churches in America recently suggested that Christians should stop saying the Bible says. After all, he said, it's an ancient text and most people today don't take it seriously. He insists that pointing people to the Bible only makes our message sound less persuasive and hopelessly irrelevant, end quote. Now, that's coming from a preacher in a pulpit of one of the gigantic churches in our nation, according to this particular writer that made that statement. I think it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and not look at the Bible as being irrelevant. We need to recognize that it is time for us to understand what's happening. Some of the things that's taking place today, for example, illustrating the perilous times. There's a major deception in our nation regarding alcoholic beverages, regarding vaping, regarding THC that's found in marijuana, and yet 33 states have legalized marijuana. I'm going to talk about it in just a moment, the dangers of that. Then we're going to talk about what's happening with the U.S. Supreme Court, the LGBT hearings. We're going to talk about what's taking place in relationship to Christian persecution, and all of this fits into the perilous times, the perilous days in which we're living. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question or the comment, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one other point and just see your thoughts on this. And and I'm pro-Trump. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. But if someone makes peace in the Middle East, that's going to be a false peace. It'll be, and initially, the anti-Messiah, the Antichrist, if you will be a friend to Israel. And Trump has been a tremendous friend, and he's also been a friend to the believing Christian community, evangelicals. But I always said a few years ago when he got elected, and I'm glad he did, but I'm saying if he makes peace in the Middle East, be careful. I'm not saying he is or he isn't, but you know where I'm going with this, Brother Youngblood. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, when he, the thing that the betrayal of the Kurds, it just is nauseating because they helped us. And sometimes Trump views things as a business transaction, and he doesn't have the human element. And worst of all, he doesn't listen to his advisors many times. That's why many of his advisors have left. He's difficult to work with. But, you know, but as far as the end time scenario, the anti-Messiah will dump Israel too. If Trump dumped the Kurds, maybe he'll... You know, and I'm not going to go any further. You know where I'm going, and I want to hear your comments. And I'm thinking outside the box, but I hope no one confuses this. Thanks.
I know where you're going. Let me say this very simplistically and very poignantly. I believe the Antichrist that will step on the scene is in the world today, alive and well. He does not know who he is. We do not know who he is. I know when you look at Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 and following, it identifies him very clearly. He will be one that I call a Sodomite Islamic. He will be one that will have roots, according to Antiochus Epiphanes and the mirroring of the Antichrist from that. He will have to have roots someplace in the historical backgrounds coming out of Syria as Antiochus Epiphanes. And yet you find the Antichrist in Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 and following, verses 24 through 27 in particular, where he will form a covenant that is a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. It will be a time that Israel will be told that they're safe. There'll be a nation of unwalled villages, as the scripture tells us in the Ezekiel text, that there will be a nation of unwalled villages. They will feel safe and secure. The Antichrist will form that covenant that will give them peace and protection as they see it. They will fall into the devil's lure, if you will. And halfway through that seven-year peace treaty, the Antichrist will break the treaty and will try to destroy the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. Now, I could not in any sense of the word say that we believe that would be President Donald J. Trump. I understand what you're saying in the similarities with what some feel that Trump has done today in allowing the Kurds to be, as you'd put it in the vernacular, left to hang out to dry and to defend themselves. It's about a 19-mile strip down the southern border of Turkey, and the Turkish military just started trouncing that. But the Turkish military has gone into Syria, and they're literally cleaning the clock. What we're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, is an ultimate confrontation from Russia through Syria for those that come in to attack Syria, because Syria is the puppet state for Russia. So is Iran and Iraq, puppet states for Russia. And Russia will be the one that will be the big bear that's leading the five Islamic nations to come against the nation of Israel. So it's my prayer that, though from the human standpoint, I think it was a bad timing for the president to make the decision. As our caller just said, it's brought some rejection on the part of some good Republicans, as well as most of the socialist, Marxist liberals that's on the other side of the aisle, as it's called. But it's my prayer to see that God will use that because of Trump not realizing that God has divinely intervened, placing him in office. And I believe the divine intervention of God will allow him to be reelected in 2020. And it's my prayer that he will. If he loses that election, ladies and gentlemen, we've lost the Constitutional Republic. There are things that he might say or do that, from the moral, ethical standpoint that he has been in the past, that we cannot say as Christians that we put our stamp of approval on. But God has always used the human frailty of man to carry out God's plan and purpose. You look at all of the kings of Israel. You look at the one that was the greatest king that Israel ever had. And you understand King David was not a perfect man. But look how God used him. And so I'm looking at it from the biblical overview, the totality of Scripture, of how God uses each of us as imperfect human beings, but to be used as instruments and vessels in his hands if we would simply allow him to do so. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about it, and we're living in that day. We're living in that time. We're living in the last of the last days, when perilous times shall come. And without doing an injustice to the Scripture or in any way destroying or modifying the Scripture, perilous times have come. Perilous times are here. And this is the reason I'm so concerned when I see things, ladies and gentlemen, where there's silence from the pulpits and nothing being said or done to take a stand about these moral ethical issues. One of the major moral ethical issues today, which is an offshoot of the marijuana industry, is that of vaping. And we have, I believe they've already discovered something like about 1,000 plus cases now, with about 26, as of day before yesterday, the 26th person has died as a result of it. And I was watching a broadcast on Fox News this morning at about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and there was an individual there talking about marijuana and juice. And the question was asked to him by a Fox News anchor. Said, well, do you believe that this vaping is mostly vaping just the flavors or just tobacco? And he said, absolutely not. He said 80% of it is knowingly using that as a form of using marijuana, inhaling marijuana. And he said, the problem is there's no restrictions on marijuana. It's mixture, it's strength. There's nothing in the law, nothing in the rules and the regulations that promulgated the laws that are put on the books in 33 states. And he said, as a result of that, people are dying. And he said, it's just as with the tobacco industry of years ago. They don't care what they do just so they can market the product that they're selling. And ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place. Some 1,000 cases, over 26 deaths, all because the marijuana industry has successfully marketed marijuana under the guise of flavored oils, when in reality, some 80% of those that are vaping today are using marijuana oils and no controls over them. The THC, that is the high potency, the mind-altering drug that is in marijuana, is in the products. It's not even considered to be in the volume of the product. They have things like gummy bears and lollipops and chocolate bars and chocolate chip cookies and chewing gum and hand creams and lipstick and face powder, et cetera, et cetera. All of those products today, ladies and gentlemen, laced with marijuana, just to get the product out. And yet, listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about perilous times and the perilous days we're in. Part of that is looking at the eschatological truth of these perilous days and what leads up to the ultimate sudden seizure, the snatching out of the bride of Christ in the rapture of the church. But we're looking at some of the most horrific social, ethical, moral issues, I believe, that's ever been on the face of God's green earth. And we're legalizing it through the greed of state houses and senates in each state across America. 33 states have legalized marijuana in some fashion. In the state of Florida, as we speak, there's a petition that's being circulated to have it put on the ballot for 2020, that there will be the legalization of marijuana as a recreational drug in November of 2020. They already have some 77,000 signatures. This was back 3 months ago. They probably have 150,000 now. They need 750,000 signatures to put it on the ballot. And it's a methodology by which the marijuana industry pushing it for the growers and for the producers and for the manufacturers and for the peddlers of those with marijuana. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the state of Colorado and you see how it has absolutely devastated the state of Colorado, when you look at what's happening in Washington State, you see what's happening in California, and you understand it's because of the greed of money. California brings in about $5.5 billion a year on taxes because of marijuana. The very reason that the state of Colorado instituted and legalized marijuana was supposedly on the basis that it would stop the black market. That is, the only reason they call it the black market of marijuana, ladies and gentlemen, is because it's the market of marijuana that they're not receiving taxes on. And so they call it the black market. And just recently, in the month of July of this year, they determined that the black market, marijuana in Colorado, was far outpacing the sales of the legalized marijuana in the state of Colorado. And yet you have the major, major number of teen overdose, teen deaths, and those that are going to the emergency room as a result of it. You find the total crime in the state of Colorado has increased 546% as a result of marijuana being legalized in the state of Colorado. And yet we're concerned about the nationwide opioid epidemic, and the gateway to every other drug is nothing more and nothing less than marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn the dial. Come right back in about 1 minute. We'll continue our thought today on the perilous times that we're in.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.